Bible isn't a book that everyone's read or even had the opportunity of reading. So I'd like to begin by giving you an opportunity this afternoon of receiving a copy of at least an extract from the Bible entitled Mark's Gospel, and give you a good overview summary of what the whole Bible is about from beginning to end. It's offered to you without cost or charge to you, free to you, without obligation, to take and read and come to your own conclusions. It's the book, of course, that answers the question, or many questions really, but the question of your origins, where it is that you came from, because there's an awful lot of myths and fairy tales abroad in these days. Evolutionary nonsense that many people have been indoctrinated with from the cradle, and some sadly to the grave, never come to an understanding, knowledge of the truth that God made them in Jesus Christ, and made them, of course, to know and to experience His love, to be loved and to love. So the Bible answers that question of origins, where you came from, where everything came from. In the beginning, God created, is how the Bible begins. And then, of course, it answers other questions too. The question about evil, and as to where it came from, and why is it still amongst us? Why do we still have violence? And obviously, as you look around you in the world today, you have to come to the conclusion that something is out of sync. We're not working properly. Last century we had two world wars, and after each one of them we said the same thing, and we said it again and again, it must never happen again. But of course it does. Not too long before we plunge ourselves into yet another war. And maybe perhaps even as I'm speaking, with the conflict that's taking place in Eastern Europe just now, maybe we're about to be plunged into yet another world war, or at least European one. So why does it keep happening again? Why do we keep violating one another? Why is it that the human race is out of sync? Where does all this evil come from? Well, the Bible answers the question. Jesus tells us that it's out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Thoughts about murder, war, starvation, all the ills, all the bad stuff that you see in your world around you today. It all comes out of the human heart. And then, of course, the gospel, that's the very heart of the gospel, because it addresses the human heart. It speaks about sin, its reality, and it speaks about the grace of God that alone can change the hearts of men and women and enable them to respond to the gospel, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving salvation. So all these questions and many more, no, not all the questions are answered, but the ones that matter, the ultimate questions, are answered for you in the Bible, in God's Word. So I encourage you to read for yourself, if not, take a copy of Mark's Gospel, good place to begin, and from there, maybe perhaps you'll continue to read the rest of the Bible for yourself and see, well, what great things God has done, His wonderful works in creation, in providence, in providing for your needs as a human being, and of course that of the human race, and also His wonderful grace in salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Gospel of Mark is offered to you, as I say, without charge, without obligation to you. The Bible, perhaps you've never read it, perhaps you haven't read it today. Allow me, please, to share with you one or two words from the Bible itself. Gospel of John begins in this way, speaking, of course, about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all men might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Thus far we read in God's holy Word, His infallible Word. You'll see there that the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus Christ is not only a Savior, but He is the one through whom all things were made. In fact, the Bible says there was nothing made without Him that was made. He's the Creator of all things. Therefore, is worthy not only of your attention, but His rightful claim upon your heart, your life. It's your heart, of course, that He desires. Lest you give Him your heart, you give Him nothing at all. He came, that is, to change the human heart, He says in another place in John's Gospel, to a religious man. He says to him, you must be born again. That unless a man is born again, he cannot see, perceive, understand, that is, the kingdom of God. Person, that is, must be enlightened from above, must receive light from God before they can understand and before they can respond to the gospel, to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But it is in responding to the gracious offers of God that a person is reborn to eternal life, that a person is made new, their hearts are changed, and all the bad stuff is, you know, taken out of them. So I just want to talk to you for a little while about Jesus, the one who is the Creator, the one who is undoubtedly, the Bible reveals to us, is undoubtedly God Himself. God became man. In the Old Testament of the Bible, Psalm 45, for instance, there it speaks about God's throne being a throne forever. And of course, the one who sits upon that throne is God. And of course, that is applied to, attributed to, the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So the Bible's claim, you see, is that He is God. And so therefore, when He commands you to repent and believe, well, that command is coming from nobody less than God Himself. That God became a human being, took upon Himself human form, lived and died on a cross, and rose again from the dead. That is the phenomenal news, good news, the gospel that the Bible declares, and that through Him and through what He has done, the salvation that He has procured, that He Himself has wrought, that through Him you might be saved. But then, of course, we could talk about the power of Jesus as you read the Bible and you see the amazing works of God throughout the history. A 6,000 year history, no, not 6 billion years, but 6,000 years, the history of the world, the works of God, not just in creation, but in salvation and judgment, bringing nations to judgment for their iniquities, their transgression. You read of the great flood of Noah, how God drowned an evil world in sin and saving just one family, Noah and his family. And then, of course, many other wonderful, amazing, phenomenal acts that we read about in the history of the world performed by this God, this one who is, in fact, Jesus Christ. And then, of course, well, as you come into the New Testament, we find Him giving eyesight to the blind, cleansing people of leprous disease and other evils, wickedness, delivered from the powers of darkness, and even, yes, to raising the dead, and Himself raised from the dead by His own mighty power. So, you see, people, something, you get a taste, a flavor of the power of Jesus Christ, His ability to save, to deliver, to heal, His ability, people, to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. And of course, well, the Bible makes it clear that there is no other mediator between God and men but the man Christ Jesus. No other way a person can come to God, only through Jesus. Only through Him that you can access, connect with that power that He wields. He said, following His own resurrection from the dead, all power in heaven and earth is given to Me. So you see, people, when you witness, when you see from the pages of the Bible the many marvelous, wonderful, phenomenal things that Jesus has already accomplished and done, well, surely your salvation, forgiveness, redemption, your salvation, people, would be dare I say, almost a small matter, an easy thing to him. But of course that salvation can be wrought only through his power alone, not through your works, not through your strength, not through any power in you, but only that of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, through his grace, the operations of his grace in the heart, changing your heart and taking out the desires for evil, wickedness, darkness, atheism and the like, and giving you new desires, desires to obey God, desires to please God, live for God, to be holy, to be right with God, and a desire, of course, well, one day to go to heaven and be with God. And of course, well, we could talk about his love, because he is the revealer of love. God is love, the Bible says, and everyone who has been born of God is a person who loves as God loves. So that rules out for you, doesn't it? All these world religions with their hatred and their terror. You see, if a person born of God, such hatred and desire to destroy their fellow human beings is removed from the hearts of such people. You can't be born of God and go about hating and terrorizing your fellow man. You see, Jesus came to reveal the love of God to us. And as we speak about the love of God, well, it's that you see that, well, that he seeks desires to impart to you. But what is love? Well, the Bible says God is love. Love is not that which, well, you hear people talking about in the world today, you know. They talk about, well, it seems to me at least anyway, at very best it's emotional. And of course, well, when the emotions change, the feelings change, well, the love goes with it too. But love isn't like that. Love's lasting. Love is eternal, just as God is. It doesn't alter, it doesn't change with the feelings. Love is an act of the will. You love people, you will to love people, or you will to hate them, one or the other. Love isn't the stuff that's promoted by Hollywood. It's not that rubbish that you watch on Emmerdale Farm and Coronation Street. That's just utter rubbish and nonsense. Lust at the very best. Now, people, that's not love. God is love. And people, Jesus came to reveal the love of God to us. And the Bible tells us, people, that the greatest and the clearest evidence of God's love, well, we are pointed to the cross where Jesus died for sinners, where he died for the ungodly. You know, the Bible says that greater love has no man than he laid his life down for his friend. You know, we've seen in history, haven't we, many tremendous examples, you know, on the fields of war of this, where men have given their lives to save others or to save a comrade. And, you know, Jesus says that's great love. But Jesus died not just, he laid his life down for the enemies of God. While we were still enemies of God, the Bible says Christ died for us. Well, you might just, if you were a courageous person and somebody that you had a real deep respect for, you might just, if the circumstances, if the opportunity afforded you, you might just give your life up for somebody else maybe, but then again, maybe not. But Jesus, He died, He gave up His life for the enemies of God. Those who hate God, who trample His law, His commandments underfoot, those who despise Him and despise His name and holiness, for such Jesus died. That's the height, that's the sublime height of love. And people, that love is to be found in Jesus, and that love can be yours for submitting to, repenting of your sin, turning from your sin, and of course embracing, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That love can be yours. But love, of course, well, love is unknown to you. Never does a person know the love of God, love at all, until they come to know the love of God, experience it, taste it, I mean. Bible says, taste the Lord and see that He is good. He is, as we say back in Scotland, he is better felt than telt, better know about Him by experience, that is, than be told about Him. You might say you know, I was to ask you, you might say you know David Cameron, but I doubt it. You might know about him, you might know of him, you've perhaps heard of him, even heard him speaking, but you can't say you know him unless you've actually experienced a relationship with him. You know, unless you actually get to know him in an intimate way. And of course, well, the same applies to Jesus. You may have heard about him, you may have read about him, even in the Bible, you might go to a church and hear about him, but to know him personally and intimately, to experience his love, is something else again. You know, it is better felt, you know, to know, to feel, to experience the love of God. I tell you, there is nothing like it. But then, of course, well, we could talk about joy. That's another benefit. That's another, that's another benefit that we receive as a result of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for sinners. He died that we might be forgiven. And of course, when a person is forgiven, well, great joy is, the result of it. There's an occasion in the Bible that you can read of where his disciples went out doing many miracles, and they were overjoyed that they were able to do such wonderful things. Jesus said to them, don't rejoice that you're able to do these things. Rejoice, he said, in that your name is written in heaven. You see, the Bible tells us that when a person's sins are forgiven, when they're cleared in the court of God, God writes their names in His book in heaven. If your name's not written in the book of life, you'll never enter heaven. The Bible tells us you have to be. And it's only through the death of God's Son that you can receive the forgiveness of your sins and your name be written in the book of life. But when it is, I tell you, oh, the joy is phenomenal to know that God in Jesus has forgiven everything. All your past deeds, thoughts, and words. And some of you doubtless have got some pretty nasty skeletons lying in cupboards that keep rattling and keep troubling you from time to time. But joy is knowing that God smiles upon you, that He has forgiven you, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ. Joy, of course, I'm talking about not human happiness, that happiness of which you speak, you know, in the world, is not lasting. It's gauged by whether you have money at the bank or you have a plastic card to use, you know, to spend until your heart's content, or if you've got food in your belly, or if you've got some liquor inside you, or a fix of drugs, or some sexual experience, or abundance of material things. But take all these away, or any of them, and the joy, of course, evaporates too. It disappears like a cloud, like a vapor. So you see, people, happiness, human happiness, as you know, it's like will-o'-the-wisp. One minute is here and the next minute is gone. You don't have many days of happiness, not really. You're always looking for them. You always want it to be a happy day. But the truth of the matter is, for 99.9% of you, most of your time, most of your days are spent in misery. You know, it's a shame, it's a sadness, no joy, no real, lasting, eternal happiness. You know, it's sin that's the cause. It's sin that makes us miserable. It's sin that keeps you miserable, because you're not right with God, because you're not right with your Maker, because you haven't received forgiveness, because you haven't been absolved from your unrighteousnesses, because you face ultimately the judgment and wrath of God because of your sins. But people, there's a way out of the misery into the joy that Jesus gives. He says, no one can take away from you. They might persecute you, they might mock you, they might hound you even to death, just as they did with Jesus, but they can never take your joy away from you. When your sins are forgiven and you know that there is no condemnation from God for you, that you're accepted in the Beloved, God's Beloved Son that is, even Jesus, whom I declare to you, he's the giver of joy. There's no joy without him. There's no joy without his forgiveness. So people, come to Jesus, get your sins dealt with, get yourself forgiven, get yourself pardoned by God. Bible says there's plentiful redemption in God. There's enough for all of you. That is, if you would come to Jesus, but you must needs come to him in faith, trusting, leaving your sins behind, turning your back on them, and turning to Jesus, and receiving forgiveness as a result of his death on the cross. It's there, people. It's in the Bible. You can read for yourself and see. It's offered to you, the joy that comes from knowing that your sin is forgiven. Love, joy, then of course we could talk about peace. Not much peace in this world, really, is there? Wars in Syria, war between Ukraine and Russia. Where's that going to end up? How can there possibly be peace in the world when man's hostile to God, when the human race is at enmity against God? It's not possible. But how can you as an individual, how can you know peace? How can there be peace in your homes? Hey, you see, all the fighting and warring that goes on in your families, in your homes, falling out with one another, shooting with one another, all this fighting and falling out. You say, oh, just some peace, please. Give us some peace in this place, you know? Your neighbors, you know? Maybe you incur their hostility and you've got music banging through your walls from night into day, you know, and you say, I just want peace, peace. Somebody give me some peace, you know. And then maybe, well, it's the result of past deeds, things that you've done that you ought never to have done. People you've been sleeping with that you shouldn't have been. Maybe, perhaps, you know, it's the result of some of these skeletons that you got lying in the cupboard, and every now and again they rattle their bones, and your conscience is troubled again, and you long for just some peace, you know. Yeah, you can get it temporarily. You know, you can take yourself a fix of booze or drugs, tranquilizers. That'll pacify you temporarily. That'll pacify you for a moment or two. But once the effects of that stuff wears off, the peace is gone too. You see, people, there's only one way to get peace, and that's to get peace with God first. Then you come to know the peace of God that the Bible says surpasses all understanding. But you see, peace with God must come first. You can't have the peace of God until you know peace with God. But as long as, of course, you're angry with God, hostile to God in your mind, as long as you're at enmity against God, you'll never know peace. You'll never know an end of those skeletons rattling in your cupboard and troubling your conscience. Only one thing to do with sin, only one thing to do with a guilty conscience, pacify it. Pacify it by placing your sins under the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for sinners, who made peace by the blood of His cross, who made peace, people, for those who will trust in His name, who will believe in the Son of God. But you see, religion can't do that for you. If there's no cross in your religion, you've got no forgiveness. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. God said right from the beginning. So you see, people, Jesus had to die. People ask me the question, why did Jesus have to die? He had to, because blood had to be shed. The blood of a perfect lamb, that is, had to be shed in order for God to be able to forgive your sins. See, He doesn't just wink at them. He doesn't just brush them under the carpet and pretend they're not there. He doesn't do what you do with your skeletons, stick them in a cupboard, pretending they're not there until they rattle their bones again. God deals with sin thoroughly and finally. And when He places them under the blood of His Son, shed on the cross of Calvary, they are dealt with fully and finally. They'll never be raised up against you again. Never. No condemnation for those who are in Christ, trusting in Christ, believing in Jesus, that is, for the forgiveness of their sins, for the pardon of all their iniquities. So there you have it. You got love, you got joy, you got peace. And another one, you've got hope. You know, I ask you, what hope do you have for the future as you look at society, as you look at the world you're living in? You know, the evolutionists, they talk about this mystifying development They said you used to be monkeys and apes and now you're human beings. That you're people who belong to evolution. You know? You're just the happenstance of some primordial sludge that you came out of. Well, people, if you're developing, you're not developing very fast. And it seems to me you're not developing at all. It seems to me that you're going backwards. You used to be monkeys and apes and now you're human beings. It looks to me like you're going back to being animals. Because all I can see in the midst of your society and world today is men and women behaving like animals. But then if you keep telling people that they came from animals, it won't be long before they start behaving like them, will it? You keep telling somebody something, eventually they'll catch hold of it, they'll run with it. So you see, people, the bottom line is you're not the happenstance of evolution. The world, society, the world, the human race is not developing, it's degenerating, as is the universe in which you live. If evolution were true, the universe in which you live would be regenerating. It's not, it's degenerating. Wise up. The fool says in his heart there is no God. People, the world is degenerating. You're running out of resources, all kinds of them. Won't be long before you're killing one another in order to get hold of the resources. Look at the way you're killing one another already over oil. Eh? Wherever there's oil, you'll find the Western world in a warfare, fighting and killing people so that they can get the oil. Yeah? The world, the human race, people's going down. The end is coming. When God will bring a conclusion to it. So I ask you, people, what are your hopes for the future? Even beyond today, if you've ever thought about it. And what about tomorrow? Hymn writer says, concerning myself, concerning the believer in Jesus, I can face tomorrow. Why? Because he lives. Jesus, alive from the dead, risen, exalted, coming again to judge the world in righteousness. People, you need to have a hope beyond this world. If your hopes are only for this life, you are to be most pitied indeed. And if you've never even thought about this, then you're even more to be pitied. What sad people that can't even think for themselves. Huh? But just receive, just take the stupid indoctrination that's fed into them from the cradle to the grave. Ungodly, unbelieving parents, primary school teachers, secondary school teachers, university professors, the media, the celebrities, every fool under the sun you listen to, but not God. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. It might disturb you and you might go on thinking and come to the right conclusion. So what are your hopes in life and death? Because ultimately your faith with death is appointed for man once to die. After that, well, the Bible answers the question. Not 6 feet of earth, end of story. That's not the finish. Ah, when you're dead, you're dead. No, you're not. No, you're not. You have a soul inside of you that will live forever and ever. In a million years, you will still be in existence. Either in heaven or hell, one of the two. No, people, death is not the end of it. It is appointed for man once to die. You can't escape that. They won't find a cure for it before your turn comes, because there is no cure for it. It's the judgment of God. It's the curse upon the human race because of human sin. There's only one answer to death, and that's the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can escape the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. You say, I'm not a sinner, prove it. Don't die. That's the only way you'll ever prove that you're not a sinner. By not dying. People trusting in the risen Christ is the only answer to the problem and to the fact of death. Believing in God's Son, Jesus. So hope, you see. Hope, what are your hopes? Hopes for this life, in the midst of all the miseries that life has to throw at you. And you know, people, well, you know that already if you've lived for 5 minutes. It's nothing but a trail of misery. There's not much happiness. And then comes the final throw of the dice. You're faced with death. It may come to you young, because the young die too. Hey, they don't escape it. Death is no respecter of persons and no respecter of age. You know, it may be cancer, it may be an accident, it may be violence, it may be murder, it may be natural causes, whatever, however it comes to you, it's coming to you. Are you ready? That's the question. Have you got a hope? Were you faced with the certainty of death today? Have you got a hope beyond that? Only the risen Christ can give you that. People, it's in His Word. I offer it to you. Take it, read for yourself and see. People, the only hope. Life and death, with all the miseries that a man or woman faces in this world, and then of course death, the world to come. The only hope, people, I submit to you, is a relationship, living relationship with God in Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, the one who died and rose again from the dead, just as the Bible predicted, said that He would, so He did. And rose from the dead, just as the Bible predicted 1,000 years before He came that He would do so. So He did. People, you know, that's the level of truth that you're talking about, you know. I know there's a lot of people talk about God these days. You know, there's a lot of people with a lot of funny ideas, a lot of stupid ideas. That's why you need the Bible. You don't listen to just any jerk that tells you about Jesus or God. There's all kinds of heretics. If the Bible wasn't true, there wouldn't be any heretics. You know? There's false religion. You know, there's a world full of it. But that's why I say to you, religion don't save a person. It's a person who says, Jesus, the Son of God. And people, you find Him in the Bible. You find Him here in God's Word. The truth, let that be your guide. As you see in the Bible, God tells you how you can know that a person is speaking the truth about Him. If what He says comes to pass, God says you can take it. He's speaking My Word. If what He says does not come to pass, then you can take it that He's not speaking on My behalf. Well, everything that God spoke, His prophets spoke in the Old Testament about Jesus, they have been fulfilled. Apart, that is, from His second coming. So you see, you can take the Bible. You can take it comfortably, knowing that it's the truth of God. But you hear about all these miracle workers, these healers, you know? They tell you, put a couple of hundred pounds on the table, stick your plastic card in their machine, and they'll give you healing. They'll get rid of your cancer. They'll get rid of your disease. People, they are liars, heretics. They are people off the wall. Because what they say, what they promise, what they declare does not come to pass. They cannot show you one single person who has been miraculously healed with the backed up evidence of a doctor, a medical practitioner. So you see, people, you don't need to be listening to these heretics. You don't need to be listening to these spiritual quacks. You don't need to be listening to such as that. You want the truth? It's the truth that will make you free, Jesus says. And the truth is in His Word. And this is the Word of God. This is the Bible. This is the Holy Scriptures that testify about Jesus. This is God's record concerning His Son. You see, it's not true. You call God a liar. But this is a Word that you can trust your soul, your eternal destiny to. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. You don't put your trust in a man, a minister. You don't put your trust in a church. You don't ask to put your trust in a pope. You don't ask to put your trust in anyone but Jesus Christ, because He ultimately is the only one to be trusted. No other. So there you go, love, joy, hope, peace, it's all to be found in covenant with God in Jesus Christ, in the Son of God who came into the world to save, to rescue sinful men and women such as you and I. So great, so vast, so abundant, so immeasurable is the love of God for your soul, that He sent His Son and gave Him up to the death of the cross, and through Him you might be saved, and raised Him from the dead so that you might have an eternal hope, eternal love, eternal joy, and everlasting peace, all to be found in Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, shall be saved. That's directly out of the Bible. Read for yourself and see. Gospel of Mark offered to you free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. Read and see the wonderful things that Jesus has done, in order that your soul might be saved, you might be forgiven, and know hope and joy and lasting peace in His name. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? You come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy on your souls.